a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to 2018 and the first Dr. Kevin show of the year here on Om Times Radio, where we're trying to challenge everyone and everything, or at least on my show. Let me see, what was that I used to say here on Om Times, where we take the world one om at a time? I haven't said that in a long time. Because it is the first Thursday of the month, we know, if you are a regular here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we know what that means. It means that you know that I have the same partner in crime every first Thursday of the month. And I heard the chuckle coming from the jail cell. Is my partner in crime there?
I am here, yes.
Yes. That is none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. And we,
Dr. Kevin, I don't know if it's just your phone reception or what. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Okay, let me turn that up. See if that's any better. Does that help at all?
That is a little better. Yeah,
I've turned it way up. I don't know. I have been struggling with a few throat issues over the last several days, so I may not be projecting as well as usual. We have been calling this we used to call it Thirst Quenching Thursday. That was the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we called it, Neutral News. That's what we've been calling it now, where we've been trying to have neutral news to try to bring a little bit of central into it. And I have declared, unbeknownst to you, that this is going to be the last time that I call this, that I promote this as neutral news.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that neutral news has not... I don't think that neutral news has worked out the way that I envisioned it working out. How have you felt about neutral news?
I'm not crazy about it.
Okay.
Well, my problem with it is I think that you and I both like giving our opinions. So trying to keep our opinions and analysis out of the equation, I think... It just doesn't work for us.
And I would agree. I would agree. Yeah. I really think that part of the problem was, first of all, that if somebody really wants to know the truth, they're going to go look for it. You know, mm-hmm. and I know that there's not a lot of truth that we've been getting as really straight up truth from either side. Mm-hmm. We get it from the liberals, we get it from the conservatives, and we get it all with a shine on it. And I think that the intention was good, but you know, you have to really work hard to find the real news. And then if you do, the people that are going to believe it went and found it on their own, and the people that want it to either be liberal or conservative are going to not believe it anyways. You can't make somebody believe the truth.
Right.
So
yeah,
the first Thursday of every month, I'm doing this write up for it, and I'm putting this out to you, Matt. I'm putting it out live on here on the show. And I really want the listening audience, because I know that we get listeners. I know there are people that are out there listening to us. I get feedback about people from that listen to us. They don't ever call in, and this is a live call-in show. You may now call in at 202-570-7057. And I have begged, pleaded, cajoled, tried to bribe people to call in and participate in the conversation. And we don't have a whole lot of luck. We occasionally have had call-ins, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You don't get a whole lot of call-ins on your show either, though, do you? Or is it just when I'm there?
Oh, it varies wildly. You know, someday we'll have very few, someday we'll have a lot. You just don't know. Don't know from one day to the next.
Yeah. So anyways, so what I want to do is, first Thursday of the month, join Dr. Kevin and Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, as Dr. Kevin and Matt unleash by putting what's going on in the world through a spiritual lens on the Dr. Kevin Show. What do you think about that? You like that?
That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so from now on, that's what it's going to say for the first Thursday of every month, that it's just you and I getting together and putting things through a spiritual lens. Talking about whatever we want to, but try to go back to, and you remember when I used to do a show called Through the Spiritual Lens. You remember that?
I do. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, Om Times is, you know, and people that have followed me for a long time know that, you know, I try to put stuff out as best I can as, you know, that, you know, with some kind of spiritual, you know, from some kind of spiritual perspective. So right. I'm glad that you and I are in in agreement that Neutral News just didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
We tried. Gave it a shot. No one's fault. But I just think it, you know, wasn't what it just didn't work out well.
Right.
So I just got back in from Phoenix. This is not a great welcome home present, Matt. I'm holding you personally responsible for this blizzard, just so you know.
Oh, I didn't realize you were back. I assumed you were still in Phoenix. Wow. Yeah, I'm currently still in the building where WMNH is, and I'm not looking forward to leaving here because the wind outside is incredible right now. The walk back to the vehicle in the parking garage is going to be really unpleasant.
I would think that the other thing that would be unpleasant would be the drive home.
I don't think the drive home is going to be nearly as bad as the walk to the Jeep. I mean, it's like, even just getting, like, when I got out of the Jeep to come in to do my show, just coming down the street, you ever have that where the wind is hitting you in the face so much that it's actually difficult to breathe? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's what I experienced earlier.
Yeah. I ended up, I had appointments this morning, but the one that I had to go out for canceled and all the rest were on the phone. So I have not left my residence since I got home from Phoenix last night at 10 o'clock. And
yeah.
I am not going out again. I wondered whether the show would go on today or not, whether your show would go on or whether the studio would call it a snowed out day.
No, well, fortunately for me to get here is not, you know, it's just over the bridge. It's actually not that far. You know, driving here was not a big deal. It was, like I said, like when I got here and I had to walk from the parking garage to the building, that was actually much worse than driving here. But, you know, fortunately, I only, you know, like I said, I'm right over the bridge. If people know Manchester at all who happen to be listening, you know, I'm on the west side where I live, and then I just have to come over the bridge to Elm Street. So that part's not bad.
So, so when we get back, we'll be going to break in a couple of minutes. I do want to talk about some of the things that have gone on in the news lately. I want to talk about everything from the Jeff Sessions move on the marijuana to what you think of some of the stuff that Steve Bannon's new book has to say. Excuse me. Again, I'm sorry. I'm having a throat issue.
Yeah, sounds it.
I managed to get sick just before I left for Phoenix. Just got this thing that So, I mean, it was beautiful there. It was in the mid-70s the whole time I was there, and I got to go hiking, and I never let it slow me down. But I have to say, I have to admit that I got through with some judicious over-the-counter drugging to keep everything at bay enough that I could at least function.
Right.
So 2018, when I get back, I want to ask you, and I'm going to give you a chance to think about it, what do you think we have to look forward to in 2018? 2017 was a wild ride. A lot of things that nobody could have seen coming, I think, showed up. I think 2018 may be just as wild a ride. But you tend to keep a pulse on some different things. So I want to talk about this when we get back, again, along with the move by Sessions and by the marijuana. And what do you think is going to be happening? Whether being in the White House these days is a pleasant thing or not. I think there's some real questions. But as we're waiting for our first break to come, New Year's, what did you do New Year's Eve? Oh. And there's our break.
Oh, there it is.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, our first Dr. Kevin Show in 2018. I'm here with Matt Connerton Unleashed. Matt Connerton has his own Monday through Friday drive time show, which you will find posted all the information on. It's on 95.3 out of Manchester, New Hampshire. You can also find it on the web called Matt Connerton Unleashed. If you go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, you will see the posting for today's show. Underneath it will be a link if you want to check out any of Matt's regular weekly shows. We do put it there. Excuse me. And this is a live call-in show. We're talking about some of what happened in 2017 and what's coming up, as best we can tell, in 2018. Everything from a little bit of a roll of the dice to maybe a little bit of a psychic eye. But our live call-in show, you can join us by calling in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So, Matt, did you have a good New Year's?
It was fine. We just stayed in. It was bitterly cold. You were obviously still in Arizona at that point, but it was very, very cold here. I think it got down to below zero. So aside from going out to get caffeine, really didn't do anything other than just stayed home. And I had my face in the computer doing my work, which is what I'm doing most of the time anyway. And so that was it. I've never been a big New Year's Eve guy anyway. I've never been into New Year's for the same reason I've never really been into my birthday. To me, it's just marking time. It's I don't really attach any meaning to it. So it was just another day.
And while you were busy working, what was Jenny doing?
I don't remember exactly. Probably some of the same.
Well, it looks like, excuse me,
you're having a hard time.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So it sounds like you two are well suited then. So 2018, Matt, what do you think? What do you think is coming up in 2018? I want you to address that. What's coming up with, what do you think about the new move by Jeff Sessions? And what do you think about the Steve Bannon book? You have three choices. Choose and start. Well, I try to see if I can put this down a little bit so I can cough my eyes out for a second.
Well, as far as Jeff Sessions goes, in fact, I discussed him today on my show. And Jeff Sessions continues to be one of my least favorite humans. On the planet. I feel that Jeff Sessions is truly an enemy of the people. Polling data shows most Americans, plurality of Americans do support, and this goes across party lines, do support some form of either decriminalization or legalization of cannabis. And Jeff Sessions is insisting on taking us backward. I think he probably... He often strikes me as seeming as though he's from another time. I think he probably would have been a more suitable attorney general for 1958 instead of 2018. But I think it's terrible. And I Jeff Sessions, I've said before too. I mean, not only is he very pro drug war, but he's wildly enthusiastic about civil asset forfeiture, where the government and where law enforcement can just steal your assets from you based on nothing more than the suspicion and the allegation that you've done something. I think it's all terrible. And I hope that there is a lot of pushback against Jeff Sessions. We're already seeing some from his own party. In Colorado, the U.S. attorney, AG in Colorado is pushing back on Jeff Sessions, saying there won't be any change in prosecutions there in terms of their policy. There's a couple of Republicans in Congress who are saying that they actually think Jeff Sessions should resign. And these are Republicans saying this, and they don't like to step out of line when it's anything regarding Trump, unless they're already on their way out and they feel that they have nothing to lose. But kudos to Representatives Mark Meadows, Republican of North Carolina, and Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. They together penned an op-ed that appeared in the Washington Examiner, and they're very upset with Jeff Sessions and think that he should resign. So I'm glad to see some pushback coming from the Republican side. that's encouraging. But I don't think Jeff Sessions plans on going anywhere. You know, he was determined. He was willing to hang on to his job throughout the public humiliation that Trump was putting him through when Trump was criticizing him on Twitter, calling him weak and all that. Not that long ago. So I don't think Jeff Sessions is going anywhere, but I wish he would. Like I said, I feel that he is an enemy of the people.
Well, I know that California has also started pushing back, you know, and there were several other states coming online to hop on the marijuana money train. Because, you know, states can make a lot of money off legalizing marijuana.
Well, that's why something that's been interesting to me throughout this whole trend of states going legal is a lot of my libertarian friends, and I've been surprised at how many of them would say this, actually oppose full legalization and prefer decrim, only because with decrim, it's sort of a de facto legalization in a sense, in some sense, but also too. When you go full legal, yes, you do typically have now state government directly involved in cannabis, and they would prefer that government keep their mitts off of it. So that's been kind of an interesting dynamic. But yeah, the trend of legalization, or at the very least decrim, which we have here in New Hampshire, that does continue unabated, regardless of what Jeff Sessions tries to do, which is good to see.
Well, it's going to create another battlefield, like there haven't been enough in this presidency, between states' rights and federal rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you had Trump do the whole thing about the I can't think of the word. My brain is as clogged as my nose right now. But the cities that wouldn't go after the immigrants,
the sanctuary cities.
Sanctuary. Thank you so much. I knew that the word was there somewhere. The sanctuary cities. That's been put some odds out there. Other things, and I actually one of the things I thought was, if enough people get riled up enough, Trump could use this as a backdoor way to get rid of Jeff Sessions, which he would love to get his hands more on the Mueller investigation. And he can use this as he's got Republicans asking for Jeff Sessions' resignation.
Yeah.
Is this a backdoor way to get rid of Jeff Sessions? I mean, I'm not saying it was planned that way, but could it play out that way?
I don't see it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I'd love to see Jeff Sessions gone, but I don't see it particularly playing out that way. Unfortunately, I don't think Jeff Sessions is going anywhere. I think if Trump was going to get rid of him, he would have gotten rid of him before when he was publicly fuming over Sessions' recusal in the Russian investigation. You know, Trump made it known that he didn't appreciate that that decision and whatnot. If he didn't do it then, I don't think he's going to do it.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I don't think it was planned that way. But back then, there were also those people that were going, you'll end up with your own party having to turn against you if you do that. That they're not going to be able to block this from becoming a huge stopgap. But we'll see what plays out. I mean, I think that we're finding that more and more that the United States are not all that united. My question are you aware of some strong, large population of the United States that thinks that marijuana should be illegal or kept illegal? Is there even a 30 or 40% amount of people in the United States? I mean, is he a voice of any people, or is he a voice of a small bigoted minority who got somebody in power?
I think he's a voice of old people who maybe they've watched Reefer Madness and they don't quite get why so many of us find it so unintentionally hilarious. you know, they think that that really is what cannabis does to you. And so they have this old fashioned belief, but, you know, and I don't even use the term marijuana. I always say cannabis because, if you go back in history, the whole reason that that word marijuana was invented was as a means of making it sound, you know, they said, you know, we'll make it sound Hispanic as a marketing tool to convince people that it's this bad thing. You know, and it worked. And it works to this day with some people, but that is an ever shrinking number. I mean, yeah, there are even still people walking around who oppose medical cannabis, which to me is to oppose medical cannabis is you have to be a sociopath. But there are people walking around still with that attitude, including Jeff Sessions, by the way. But they're dying off. I mean, I almost hate to put it that way, but they are. They're dying off, and eventually they'll all be dead, and it will be fully legal. We'll get there.
Okay. It's going to happen, and all they can do is slow things down. It's like so many things. It's spoking the wheel. Now, you always say, follow the money. Is there any money to follow here in Jeff Sessions' decision, or is this just self-righteous? Is this just a self-righteous move?
Well, I don't know who contributed to his campaigns when he was a U.S. senator, but I'm assuming, I'm going to assume, let's see, maybe the private prison industry, which obviously wants to keep cannabis illegal. I would assume also law enforcement, who wants to keep cannabis illegal for a couple of reasons. They want to be able to lock you up. And, of course, they want to be able to, through civil asset forfeiture, steal all of your assets and divvy those up amongst themselves. So, yeah, of course, always follow the money. That plays a huge part in why cannabis continues to be a Schedule I drug, according to the federal government. Yeah, follow the money. The prison industrial complex. Law enforcement and the court system, you know, there's a lot of money. Oh, and of course, don't forget the pharmaceutical industry, of course. They want to keep cannabis illegal. They want you to keep taking their pills. So always follow the money. There is a lot of money at stake in cannabis continuing to remain illegal. That plays a huge part. I'm convinced of it.
Well, it's interesting. Biggest contributor to Sessions was actually Defense Aerospace. Mm. Leadership PACs were second.
Didn't know that. Mm.
Yep. Oil and gas was next.
Mm.
Interesting. And again, it was for a senator. Okay.
Right.
We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner. And your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, the first one of 2018, where we take a little look back at what's going on at the year changeover and look into what may be going on. Obviously, 2017 was a year of ups and downs and a lot of unexpected turns, as one would expect, considering the administration that we got for this year in our own federal government. That being said, as always, on the first Thursday of the month, I am here with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. If you want to find out more about Matt's Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time drive-through show, you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you like me when you get there, and you will see a link to take you to Matt's show where you can listen to his old shows, or you can listen to him live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 on a drive time show. We are also in La Collin Show, 202-570-7057. So, Matt, let's move subjects. We have kicked around Sessions as much as we can verbally and physically would get us arrested, so let's move on. I wanted to see what you thought about all the stuff that's happening with Steve Bannon, the book, what's coming out. But I also just noticed that... going out early, sale 4 days early, Amid Fuhrer, is Wolf's Trump book, new book on President Trump, Fire and Fury. So it seems like he's going to be getting bashed from a couple of different places out of the publishing world. What do you think? What's up? Is it going to really affect? Will people who are still drinking the Trump Kool-Aid, would they even bother to read either of these books?
No, I mean, it'll be a fascinating read, and I guess now they're trying to get it out early because of the legal challenges. You know, Trump's attorneys are trying to stop the release of the book. Good luck. No, I mean, it won't change anything in terms of his supporters. You know, I've often said there is nothing. I mean, it's the greatest example of mass hypnosis I've ever seen. There is nothing that Donald Trump can ever do that will upset or disappoint a Trump supporter. It's remarkable. None of the Trump supporters I know. I mean, I've often said, only half joking, that if Trump got us into a nuclear war, full blown Armageddon, any Trump supporters who were who managed to survive afterward would be sitting around going, "Wow, what an incredible leader Trump is." You know, Obama never had the guts to get us into a nuclear war, but Trump knew what had to be done, and he did it. And when I say I'm only half kidding, you know, I mean I'm kidding about the part. I don't think Trump is really going to get us into a nuclear war. But the part I'm not kidding about is, if he did, yes, I really do believe that there would be Trump supporters sitting around marveling at the courage that he showed in setting off global thermonuclear Armageddon. I mean, it's incredible. There is nothing this man can do that will ever disappoint Trump supporters. And he joked about it during the campaign. Remember that joke he made about, you know, I could shoot somebody in the middle of the street and not lose any support. So often there's so much truth and humor. I mean, that's true. If you shot somebody in the middle of the street, people would say, well, obviously whoever he shot deserved it. And anyone who tells you otherwise is peddling fake news. So, no, it won't affect any of his supporters. There's nothing Trump could do that would affect any of his supporters. Literally nothing. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
One of the things is that one of the things is that with this, are you still there, Matt?
I am, yes.
Okay. So one of the things with this is they say that his that he is losing people, though, in his base. There's a difference between his core base. What do you think his core base really is? It isn't what got him elected, which was still not the majority of voters, but his core base. Where is his core base, and how much of his non-core base, because or is it all fake news that say that his approval rating is that low and that he's losing people and there were people that took a chance on him that are now regretting it? Is any of that true? Because I don't think we can say that Trump has every person that loved Trump a year ago still falls in that category today.
No, I mean, not literally all of them, certainly. And I think there is some truth, you know, among independents, which is where these elections are won or lost. I mean, no, I have no doubt that there are some independents who voted for Trump who maybe did so with some ambivalence. You know, in the case of Trump versus Hillary, we had two candidates with the lowest approval rating one could imagine on either side. But I think his core base is, you know, it's not independents, it's Republicans. And it's very difficult to find, you know, the one thing that Republicans will just sort of very softly and criticize him on is some of the tweeting. But even that, I mean, for the most part, I find it very difficult to find a Republican who does not believe to some degree that Donald Trump walks on water and can do no wrong. They will rationalize anything. It's incredible. So, you know, I have no doubt that he's lost some independents. And if Hillary had won, she would have lost some of the independents who voted for her. But his true core base is the party of which he is the leader, the Republican Party, and they adore him no matter what he does. The standard is so low. They have no standards. I mean, this guy tweets out, I mean, talk about a taboo, tweeting about how he has a nuclear button on his desk that's bigger than the button of Kim Jong-un. You know, talking about nuclear war on Twitter like that, I mean, if Barack Obama had done that, they would have tarred and feathered him, literally. But these same people, when Trump does it, they love it. Oh, he's talking tough. He's discarded the norms and the traditions of the presidency. He's a maverick. He does it his way. I mean, they love it, no matter how reckless and irresponsible and stupid he behaves. They love it. So, you know, it's very difficult to find Republicans who will say anything. Even people I knew, who are Republicans, who in the beginning were kind of hesitant about him. Some of the never Trumpers, you know, maybe they preferred Ted Cruz or whatever. Even people like that I know personally, eventually they fell under the spell of Trump, and now they love him. It's incredible. So his true base, which is simply the Republican Party, they're going to stick with him no matter what.
Steve Bannon, why do you think he turned? Do you think he'll carry any more weight than anyone else did because they were so thick as thieves? Do you believe it when basically it sounds as if Brett Bart has separated from Bannon? What do you think?
Well, I mean, ultimately, if people have to choose between Trump and Bannon, they'll choose Trump, you know. So it's fun watching this sort of public spat. I mean, it's tremendous fun, actually. In fact, Chris and I were talking about it briefly before we went on the air. But in the long term, does it have any effect? No. I mean, if Republicans have to choose between Trump and Bannon or Trump and anybody, they'll ultimately go with Trump. He's their guy. So it's fun to watch, but does it ultimately add up to anything? No. It is interesting, though, by the way, that Bannon was talking about, you know, Trump Jr.'s meeting with the Russians and calling that treasonous and whatnot. And it occurred to me, Bannon is the one guy who has – his name never comes up in all this talk of Russian collusion. You know, we see Manafort's been indicted, Michael Flynn had to make a plea deal, all this. But notice Bannon. Bannon is never implicated in anything. So as much as I don't want to say anything nice about Steve Bannon because I don't like him, although some of his views on foreign policy and his non-interventionism I do agree with, so maybe I'll say a couple of nice things. But also, it doesn't appear that Bannon is actually probably not as corrupt as some of the other people in Trump's orbit. So, because he hasn't been implicated in anything, in any of this Russian collusion. So, so that's kind of interesting. He's an interesting guy. I'll give him that much.
Will not some of these statements that he is making, will not some of these statements bring him under a microscope with Mueller in the investigation?
Bring Bannon under a microscope with Mueller?
Yeah.
Nah.
Like,
I don't think so.
You don't think that this is going to get him on the hot seat of being interviewed by Mueller?
Probably. Yeah, he'll probably be interviewed by Mueller. Mueller's going to want to know what Bannon knows. If Bannon does know anything more than what he's already said publicly, sure. But Bannon doesn't act – see, the thing is, too, if you notice, Bannon doesn't act like a guy who's hiding something. Everybody else does. Trump acts like someone who's got something to hide. Don Jr. and Eric, and you know, they act like they've got something to hide. You know, Michael Flynn obviously did have something to hide, and Manafort and whatnot. Everybody acts like they've got something to hide, except Bannon. He doesn't. So, yeah, he'll be interviewed, sure. Mueller's going to want to know what Bannon knows, but I don't think Bannon minds being on the hot seat, because Bannon probably has nothing to hide.
And there's our sound. And we'll be back for the last part of the Dr. Kevin Show.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on the first one of 2018. I'm here with Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can hang out with Matt every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, at Matt Connerton Unleashed. If you would like more information on the Matt Connerton Show, come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You can click over there. You can listen to archives. You'll find me on more than one of the archives. You will you can listen to him live as well. And he also has a call-in show. If you'd like to call in and be part of this conversation, 202-570-7057, please feel free. So, Matt, what do you think is coming up in 2018? What do you see? Do you think after the 2017 we have, what things do you think we can expect to unfold? And what would be some of the things that would gobsmack you if it unfolded?
Oh, it's hard to make predictions in the Trump era. Everything's been turned upside down. I'll tell you one prediction I can confidently make. I think that the Republicans could very well lose. Well, I think the Republicans most likely will lose control of the House and could be in danger of losing control of the Senate. Not the boldest prediction, I admit, because historically that's what happens. When you have a Republican president, the Dems pick up some seats in the midterms. And, of course, the inverse, when you have a Democratic president, the Republicans pick up some seats. The only exception to that I know of in the modern era is 2002, when Republicans were able to persuade the public that, you know, in the wake of 9/11, okay, now we're at war, don't change horses in the middle of the race, et cetera. So they were able to hold on to Republican control during those midterm elections. Of course, they were unsuccessful at doing so in 06. But typically, whichever party is out of power in terms of the White House does gain some seats in Congress. And I think the Dems are going to pick up a lot of seats. I think they'll get control of the House. Actually, probably not the Senate, because I don't think there's enough Senate seats for it to mathematically be realistic, but I think we're going to see a lot of pickups in the House. I do think that this year we'll see the conclusion of the Mueller investigation, and I think we're going to see Paul Manafort go to prison. Don't know if we'll see anyone else go to prison, but Paul Manafort, he's already under house arrest, but I think he's going to be in one of those club feds, as they're called. Boy, beyond that, I don't know. It's very difficult to make predictions in the era of Trump.
Well, one of the things it is, and of course, the midterm elections are 10 months away, 11 months away, actually, November 6th. So a lot could happen. Of course, Hatch has decided to not go on, even though Trump really wanted him to.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting story. Yeah, Mitt Romney may be the, in fact, most likely will be the next senator from Utah.
And he's not a big Trump fan.
Nope. I don't think Trump's a big Romney fan either.
No. So you have 8 Republican Senate seats that are up, 2 independents and 23 Democrats that are all up for re-election.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what's happening. But, you know, if he keeps going the way he's going, it's what is it now? It's 49-51. You only have to flip 3.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You only need to flip 3. So anyways, I'm just curious of what's going on there. You think the Mueller investigation will end in 2018? You think, are there going to be charges against Trump or not?
No, I don't think so. I'm not convinced, but I don't think so. No.
Okay. So here's my question. Do you think it's because he basically is such a narcissist that whatever was going on, he just literally didn't get himself involved in anything and let people do stuff as long as he could just go out and be Trump? Or do you think he's going to get away with something that he did, which was illegal? What do you think? I'm asking you what you think.
I think it's very possible the former, that Trump is ultimately just an unwitting dupe. But, you know, but I say that, too, from the perspective of, because you know my theory that, that I've said many times, I don't think Trump ever wanted to be president to begin with, and that I think this entire thing is really just a publicity stunt that obviously got wildly out of control to the point that he ended up in the White House. So, I think it's very possible that that Trump isn't guilty of anything, and that you know, he was useful to people around him who are much smarter and more conniving than he. People like Michael Flynn, people like Paul Manafort, people who definitely seem to be guilty of something. So, you know, it's possible. I mean, I don't like Trump, but I'll give him at least that much benefit of the doubt until we see some proof, some real evidence that he himself personally did something wrong. But he does, I have to say, though, like I said before, he does act like someone with something to hide. But that may just be a byproduct of his rather tenuous relationship with the truth to begin with. I mean, he's just, he kind of, you know, Trump's a salesman, and he says whatever he has to say in whatever situation, in whatever given moment, to try to advance whatever his cause is in that moment. And it may not be anything deeper than that. It may just be that that's his nature. And when people begin to notice that that's his nature, it makes him look guilty when he may, in fact, not be guilty of anything. Who really knows? It could be that he is guilty of something, but he didn't expect to actually win the presidency. So he thought that whatever it is that he's guilty of, he assumed he would get away with it. That's possible, too.
So I'm going to throw something out here, which is just something that came into my brain. And you're more my expert on these things. So they find a reason to subpoena Trump for testimony in front of a grand jury, even if he's not, can't have enough stuff to do it. But they've got a reason to make him take the oath to tell the truth. And he gets interviewed by Republicans and Democrats. You know there are going to be Democrats that ask him questions that may have nothing to do, but would make him have to basically come out and rectify one of the great lies he's told as president. Because he'll be under oath.
Right.
And if he doesn't, and they can prove it's a lie, then he's perjured himself, and that's an impeachable offense. Is it not?
Right.
Is that not what killed Clinton as far as getting impeached?
Yeah. He perjured himself about Monica Lewinsky. Yeah.
So no matter what Trump perjured himself about, if he perjured himself in front of a grand jury investigation, that would be the walking legs to impeach him, which doesn't mean that he has to leave, that he leaves office. But
right.
Because Clinton went on to serve as a president who had been impeached.
Right. Exactly.
So so even if the end game was to just have to get him in front of a grand jury and make him expose or own up to his lies or speak his lies under oath, and then have to prove that they're truths, which he couldn't do because some of them are outright lies. Do you think that could be one of the games that is going on in the back of some of these strategies? Because if you truly make him look like a fool, that's one of the worst ways you can hurt Trump. Thoughts?
Right. Well, it's still.
Yeah, well, it still won't matter to his base. They'll say, I don't know. Oh, it's the deep state trying to take him down. But no, I mean, it does make sense. What you're saying makes sense. You know, get him into a situation where he's under oath. I mean, that would certainly be fascinating. I don't think it'll come to that, but it would be fascinating, wouldn't it? If he finally feels like he has to fire Mueller, although people have been speculating about that for a long time, and I don't see it. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would also be fascinating to see how does that play out, and then the constitutional crisis that would be the result of such an action.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of possibilities. Well,
yeah.
2018 awaits us, Matt. We don't know what it's going to bring, but we know that it's probably going to be another good year for Saturday Night Live.
Yep. Hopefully Alec Baldwin sticks around.
Yep. And I think that we are far from uncovering things. I think that we're going to see a lot of stuff that's going to continue to surface around sexual abuse and sexual harassment. I think we have a lot of ugly pots that are going to spend taking up a lot of 2018's time. They're not going away. And we will see you next week here on the Dr. Kevin Show.